It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Arizona Supreme Court issued a ruling that an initiative called Invest in Ed, which would have been Prop 207, didn't include an adequate description of the proposition and could not be on the ballot. Now, there has been pushback from Red for Ed organizers and teachers and other people in the state who said, wait a minute, this is politics. This isn't really what it looks like. The Arizona Supreme Court banning the education funding proposal. Let's talk to Monica Lindstrom, Mac and Gatos legal expert, about this. Monica, do teachers and Red for Ed have a reason to be upset, or did the Arizona Supreme Court issuing the ruling get it right?
I think there's a little bit of both. I think if you are a teacher or someone who supports education, like every single one of us here, this is disheartening and it's upsetting because the initiative is not going to be on the ballot, which means there's not going to be any extra money for education this year as a result of this election cycle. But the Supreme Court laid out a very good reason as to why they didn't allow the initiative to go forward. And it's basically the Supreme Court found that the proposition's 100-word description was confusing and that other information was left out, such as facts regarding the inflation rate. And one thing, when you put an initiative on the ballot, you get a 100-word description, which is not a lot. But that description has to be very plain Jane, so to speak. It cannot be misleading or confusing in any way. And the Supreme Court found that the way that it was worded was confusing enough that it would hurt the entire process and, you know, hurt the democracy or the democratic process.
This basically would have taxed the higher incomes of Arizonans for education. And we know that education has been woefully underfunded for years. Please tell me, because I've read the Facebook post, I've read on Twitter, the people that say Doug Ducey wins again, this is politics, the Supreme Court was influenced or Doug Ducey told him. Please tell me that's not how the Supreme Court works.
I have to believe that that's not the way it works because I'm a lawyer and I have to believe in the system. We have three branches of government and the judicial system is not supposed to be influenced by politics. That's the legislative and the executive branch. However, the Supreme Court justices are regular human beings. They could be influenced by reading newspaper articles or dinners or people speaking to them. However, I would like to believe that that's not what happened in this case. I don't think Ducey picked up the phone and said, hey, Chief Justice Bales, I need you to do this for me. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I can't believe that that happens.
My wife is a lawyer and she says she's met many judges and you can talk to them about anything, but don't tell them about a ruling or don't talk to them how they should rule on something because they've been doing this a long time and they've got their own ego.
And they have a different set of rules to follow. And what I mean by that is you and I can sit here in this room and go back and forth about the Invest in Ed and the proposition and what it means. But that's because we're educated about the issue. We've talked about it a lot and read about it. Well, the Supreme Court said when you just look at that 100-word description under the law and the way that it's written, it is confusing and that's not fair to our voters. So the Supreme Court is looking at it through a different lens than what you or I or the teachers or anybody else might look at that is educated in the process and what's been happening in the state. If you have someone that just moved in 4 months ago and they're going to vote, will they understand what that description really means? Maybe not, because they don't have the history.
My understanding of the law was essentially this would be a tax on one percenters, if you will, in Arizona, the wealthiest of the wealthy. But then when you read through the issues that the Arizona Chamber of Commerce found with it, they're saying that this would have meant over $1 billion tax increase for all Arizonans over 10 years. That seems like a pretty big difference to me and something that I would think that a judge would rule
Well, how do you describe that in 100 words or less, though,
right,
too?
But isn't there a big difference?
You just give them facts.
Isn't there a big difference between a tax on the wealthiest of the wealthy and a tax that's going to affect every Arizonan? Could Invest in Ed have, I don't want to say distorted, but manipulated the language of this bill to make it seem like it would be a tax on the wealthiest of the wealthy when it really could affect all Arizonans?
This happens all the time when someone or a group gets an initiative on the ballot. They are going to write that 100-word description and anything else about their initiative in a very pro-initiative way, right? To go the way that they want it to go.
So
that's natural. Right. That's going to happen. Well, for whatever reason, the Supreme Court found that when you just look at this description, it was too confusing and too misleading. In fact, they said it was the description did not accurately represent the increased tax burden on the affected classes of taxpayers. That's what the challenger said. The Supreme Court agreed with that. It creates a significant danger of confusion or unfairness. Mm-hmm. So
if you wanted it, you're going to be really, really angry that people aren't going to be able to vote on it.
Right. Not this year.
Right. It doesn't mean that it's gone forever, though.
No,
right?
No. Because they can bring it back next year. They can have all the signatures again, which they'll get enough signatures for, and they'll be right back in the same process. It'll just be a year later. But in that process, they'll understand, whoever wrote this, that they have to be a little bit more down the middle of the description instead of pro-initiative. Because I remember reading this the first time, it was confusing. I said, well, 8%, is that my tax rate? If I'm taxed at 30%, does that mean I'm going up to 38? Or is it only the percentage of my 30% that goes to education that now that's increasing by 8%. I couldn't tell exactly what that meant when I first read it until I did more research. So I can understand, and the Supreme Court looked at it as someone walking into the ballot box for the first time, reading that description, will they be able to understand what it's for?
Monica Lintz from MacInGatos, legal expert. Once again, Monica, thanks so much. I don't know if you're a teacher and if you're listening. I don't know. I understand the frustration. I understand the disappointment, but I don't think this is a political ploy to not get funding for education. If something, and how ironic is it that something about education and teachers is worded poorly or incorrectly, I understand the frustration, but I'm also seeing stuff on Facebook and Twitter of maybe we ought to walk again. I don't know if Red for Ed, we support Red for Ed. We support teachers here, but I don't know. This is starting to smell more political than it is a grassroots teacher effort to get more money.
It felt
and
really,
be careful.
It felt really weird to me that some of the leaders who we would talk about behind the Red for Ed
yes.
movement a few months ago, who we had not heard from at all since what? Maybe July, August?
Maybe May,
yeah.
After Doug Ducey came out with the proposal, right?
All of a sudden started chiming in again yesterday.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, this is a tragedy. This is terrible. It is tragic for teachers that they're not going to get more money and get more resources. But at the end of the day, to me, I think the right thing happened here.
Joshua Buckley and Montserrat, boy, what a name, Montserrat Caballero, co-chairs of the Invest in Ed campaign, they have put out a statement saying the state Supreme Court ruled that the Invest in Ed Act will not appear on the November ballot. They've blatantly ignored the basic right enshrined in the Arizona Constitution of Arizona voters to enact laws on their own behalf. Whoa! Whoa! Pump your brakes. As Monica stated, if you don't describe or if there is not accurate language, well, that also is a disservice to the Constitution because people think they're voting for one thing and they wind up with another. And that's not fair either. So, I understand the frustration and I understand, but stop with this. My rights have been violated. This is unbelievable. And Doug Ducey is pulling straight. Stop. Just stop with that. That is ridiculous. Now, as Monica mentioned, they could get back together and reform and do this next year. And mm-hmm. we could have this discussion and we can go down this road and maybe we can vote for it. But think of the backlash you would have had if this had passed and people and do you have the statistic there, Lloyd, of it wasn't just one percenters that were going to get taxed with this. It was going to be everybody.
Right.
How fair, quote unquote, would that have been if you thought, well, I make less than, $250,000 a year. I'm not going to get taxed. How ticked off would you have been?
According to the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, the drafters made two big fundamental mistakes. They removed an inflation index. Now, I don't know exactly what that means for a middle-class tax relief provision.
Well, the inflation index is you allow for inflation every year based on projections, and that means stuff will cost or taxes will cost more.
And that would have meant a $1.25 billion increase in taxes for all Arizona workers over the next decade. And also the way they described the initiative, they grossly understated the increase it would mean to tax rates for many individuals, and they say approximately 40,000 small businesses. So imagine if you're a small business owner out there and you think, well, this isn't going to affect me. And next thing you know, you find out 2 years down the road, oh my goodness, it is. I wasn't told that. And then as a teacher, like, do you have guilt isn't the right word, but how do you feel?
Buyer's remorse, maybe?
I don't even know if it's that, but like, do you feel like, hey, the people who drafted this bill kind of conned money out of the Arizona voters?
Or weren't up front
yeah,
and very
right,
specific.
Right.